Hello, handsome listeners. I want to tell you about a podcast that I know that you're going to love called We Can Do Hard Things.
This show is so fun and addicting and insightful. I feel like it's probably a less ridiculous version of handsome.
Meet Glennon, Abby, and Amanda every Tuesday and Thursday for We Can Do Hard Things. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello there, handsome little ladies. It is your friend Tig Notaro. I wanted to let you know that there are a few final tickets available for my Peekskill New York show, March 8th, and a handful of tickets left for the Waterville, Maine show on March 10th. See you there.
Handsome, chatting with friends on the Handsome Pod. Chatting with friends on the Handsome Pod.
Cheers.
Welcome to Handsome. Here we are on a rainy evening, all of us in the same room.
Ooh.
I am your dear friend, Mae Martin. I'm joined, of course, by my dear friends.
Well, it's me, your great, 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 wonderful grandfather, Tig Notaro.
And I'm Fortune Famester.
Great to be here with you, Grandpa Tig. What a
Grandpa.
What a joy.
Guys, it's just me.
Grandpa.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, my God.
Tell me about the good old days.
Oh, you jutted it.
That sure did.
You jutted it, girl.
I jutted it up for you.
What's your favorite Judd song?
The one I just sang.
Okay. I love...
Or,
Were you going to hold my hand?
Yeah, yeah, I was.
Okay.
Love will build a bridge.
One, two, three.
Tween your heart and mine.
You know this song?
No, and I didn't know.
Oh, two against one.
When you said Judd did it up, I was
the Judds.
Judd Apatow.
Judd Apatow.
That's his hit song.
Of course.
Yeah. And yeah, if you wouldn't know the Judds, you would think, what is Judded it up mean?
Do you think if we did karaoke together, there would always be one person just sitting like,
yeah,
yeah. Like
1,000%.
Yes.
We should do one of those karaoke rooms.
Yes, a project. Yeah. Oh my
god.
What
is that?
And like you can go to like Koreatown and there's these you can just rent a room and it's your own private room for you and up to like, I don't know, 12 friends.
Why don't you just stay home?
Oh yeah,
well,
you
get the machine, they bring you drinks.
Yeah,
you
it's
get
a whole thing.
A little disco
make some
ball.
Drinks at home.
I know you're
we
right.
We got a disco light up here at
That's
the office.
True. But you don't have a big selection of songs probably.
Love can.
Oh, is it Can Build a Bridge? I think I sang Will Build a Bridge.
Love no, it's can. Love
Can. Okay. Yeah. But it is tween.
It
not
is
between.
Tween. No, I think it is between.
But they're kind of silent.
I mean,
on,
if you said tween, nobody's going to scratch the record.
I think the B's a little silent. And you just hear tween. Okay.
Wait, can I hear
yeah,
you
please.
Say between with the most silent B you can do where you still hear the B? So it's like just
okay.
The slightest touch of a B.
Tween.
Sorry. I didn't hear
Did
the
you hear it?
No.
There's a little pop.
I heard it. But do you know Why Not Me?
No. No, Grandpa.
That's my favorite Judd song.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, and real quick.
Oh.
On Why Not Me.
Yeah.
The way that they sing Why Not Me.
Uh-huh.
I always sing, just to amuse myself, Why Know Me, which is Winona and Naomi.
Yeah. Wow.
Who are the Judds.
Okay.
So I sing, Why Know Me. Anyway.
May's like, what are y'all talking about?
No, I like getting an insight into.
All right.
Into what?
I don't know.
This is our culture. Our southern side coming out.
So are the Judds sisters?
No,
I can picture one of them, red hair.
Mother, daughter.
Naomi was the mom, and Winona is the daughter.
And then their other family member, Ashley.
Who, there I can get on board with there you go. Because I'm thinking her and Morgan Freeman did a string of like crime thrillers.
Yeah. See, that's where you lost me.
Really?
What? Yeah. Those were great.
So good.
I'm not saying they're bad. I just...
You didn't watch them ever?
Double Jeopardy?
Do you not remember Double who you're Jeopardy. Talking to?
Double Two Against One. Great movie.
Great movie.
I don't watch a lot of TV or film.
That's true.
I listen to a lot of music.
Right. Ashley Judd was the like crime movie gal of our childhood.
What happened? How come she never branched out of that, really? You know what I mean? She was great. Oh, man. Double Jeopardy, I felt like when I watched it, I was like, I understand the legal system and how to get away with murder.
It did make me realize that you can't be tried for the same crime twice.
That's a huge loophole in the system, I would say.
The only loophole in the system.
Yeah, yeah. We got to fix that and then, and then we're good.
So what else did you learn on these crime shows? Or
Okay, I learned...
That you always want to be friends with the Morgan Freeman.
Yes. Well, it's basically if any mysterious, handsome stranger comes into your life...
Hello.
This guy turns up. Yeah. Obviously don't trust him.
Right.
And usually Ashley Judd, there would come up... Oh, what I learned is... There comes a point, like a kind of rock bottom breaking point where you go, I'm not taking any more of this
That's
shit.
That's right.
You go, you know what? I can play this game. And then you put like a fake dead body in, and then the killer thinks he's got you and really you're behind him.
Yeah, because you've reached your breaking point.
You reach your breaking point and you become,
So it happens a lot in J-Lo movie, J-Lo's action thrillers as well.
But no, the one where she's like
Enough. Are you thinking of Enough?
I thought you were just saying
Enough. The movie Enough. Yeah. She's like, I'm not gonna, you're never gonna touch me again.
Yeah.
And then she learns kickboxing and
this is Judd?
No, we're on the J-Lo.
Oh, okay. Can we go back to the Judds?
This is one of our more random starts to the podcast.
I would say,
we get pretty random.
I disagree.
Guys, I went on a date. I went on a date.
You're in a relationship.
Yeah, it was with...
The woman that you're heavily involved,
with. I took her out on a date, and we went to this... thing. I googled it. It was called the Museum of Love. Immersive experience. You been there?
No, but is this... By love, do you mean like sex?
I was hoping, but no. And it's... These people are running a racket. And I will say I had a great time and you should check it out.
You love a racket.
I love a racket. I love
and they are running one.
This is a racket. Let me preface this by... a great time.
Absolutely wonderful time.
Got completely bamboozled.
10 out of 10.
I love to throw money at something that is very cheaply organized. It was like you go in and then you basically are walking through and then doing little activities with your partner and like answering questions and stuff. And so all these couples are moving through it and it's supposed to bring you closer and make you like think about your relation stuff. And so the couple in front of us, we're kind of like getting a little bored and all these stations are very similar, but we're noticing that like, so they'd go into a little hut where one thing was you had to stare into each other's eyes for 4 whole minutes.
That is a long time.
It's a long time. And they measure your pulse to see your heart rate and your heart rate syncs up with each other. Anyway, but we go in everything after this couple in front of us and we're like, they smell like a deep fryer, this couple. They smell like chips, like they smell
like french fries,
like french fries. Like,
and wait, what are you talking, french fries?
Yeah, we're talking french
we're talking french fries,
maybe chicken nuggets, whatever.
Chips for all our English listeners.
Yeah,
for those of you at home listening.
Thanks grandpa.
Chips off of
absolutely great grandmother.
So we go into like the little huts and every time we're like, damn, man. And also, we're interested in their dynamic because they're not really having fun, these two. Like, they're doing the things, but they're not really laughing. And and then we're in the final room, and the activity is you go in and you talk about if you were stranded on an island, what items would you bring? And you're supposed to kind of debate it. And then the couple before you has left you a note that has, like, relationship advice on it on how to handle conflict. So we're oh, shit, this... chippy couple is gonna leave us a note.
It's gonna have grease on the note.
Yeah. So we open it up and it's very strange. And it says, hey, it's two people's different handwriting. And the first person's like, hey, just agree with whatever your partner says. Just Just say yes to whatever. And then the second person's like, yeah, just, you know, like compromise and things like that. And then it's signed to bored. This is the mystery of my life. Two bored ex-Panda Express employees.
Oh, they smell like orange chicken.
They smell like orange chicken. So maybe they had just come from work or they
Wait,
had
you
just...
know exactly the meal?
I love Panda Express.
Do you really?
I love Panda Express.
Yes. I'm alive, aren't I?
So,
duh.
What else am I going to eat?
Orange chicken's their signature dish.
But yeah, they did. We were like, okay, so did they come directly from quitting
Like
Panda
they
Express?
Quit and like, yeah. We are they work are in our relationship.
And this is the biggest mystery of your life.
Yes. So
even looking at my face
how
right
are you,
now.
Yeah. How could they possibly be bored?
I know. Anyway, I just keep thinking about them and being like.
It sounds to me like they weren't taking this Museum of Love seriously.
I mean, they spent close to 2 hours in there wandering,
wow.
Doing each station.
And what does this cost?
It was about $60 each.
Wow.
I know, not cheap. And these,
for 2 hours?
These grubby little cards that you're going through. But it was great. I will. Sorry, just to clarify again, it was great. And I really support them.
Yeah. No snacks or anything included?
They had a kettle that you could plug in yourself and make a tea, and they had some tea bags there.
Wow.
Delicious.
Yeah.
And oh, then my God. All for $60?
All for $60.
Not one bowl of Cheez-Its.
Not one bowl of Cheez-Its. And then at the end, there was like a photo booth. And so I go to the woman I'm heavily involved with. I was like, we got to take a picture.
Yeah.
And she goes, oh, we already have photo booth pictures. Let's get out of here. And I go very quiet all the way to the car.
You were bummed out to not get that pic.
Yeah. I was like, you get more than one photo booth.
Yeah.
And like
I've already been captured on film before.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's get in the car.
I know. It's like I paid $60 for this experience. I want to commemorate
my freaking photo booth picture. Yeah.
But then, so in the car, I was like, help. Was there, you didn't want the picture because my hair is very puffy today? That's where I thought, is
yeah,
my hair puffy
you
today?
You were taking it personal.
And she was like, oh man, no, I'm just so hungry. I want to get to the restaurant.
She's like, that Panda Express got me wanting some of that
orange
chicken, baby.
Are you a Panda Express fan?
Yeah, I do like, I like cheap
it's
Chinese
free,
food.
Yeah.
Okay.
I really do.
Pretty tasty. Okay. It's like candied Chinese food.
It's sweet.
It's candied pre-diarrhea.
How dare you?
Well, that's all I think about with places
like
that.
I mean, you wouldn't like it for sure.
No.
You're like, but to clarify, it's great. I love it. I used to watch like Friends and TV shows like that in Canada.
Interesting. This is who kept it on the air.
Yeah. And in Canada, you never got those like cardboard Chinese food things where and I always seems so
out of the little things that fold up. Yeah.
So American, so cool. So.
Oh,
that's American?
Yeah, like they don't have that in Canada.
Oh, really?
What?
Just
how do you package Chinese food?
I know, as
in
we're saying it,
styrofoam.
Like, yeah,
thing,
styrofoam,
right?
But I'm suddenly like, are we going to get a bunch of people commenting?
Yeah, they do.
Wait
have
a minute.
Them.
It's solely
Yeah, maybe I've seen them in England, but definitely not Canada.
Canada. Wake up.
Do you know that in Canada milk comes in bags?
Are you trying to make
I have
us
been
throw
to a
up?
I have been to a Whole Foods in Canada.
Yeah, yeah. Give me a large bag of milk.
That's what it is. You go. So instead of getting like a carton of milk, it's plastic bags, and they're you can freeze them, and then you put one in like your plastic jug.
Why
and
bother?
You cut the little thing. Yeah, I know.
That's still, but they also have the cartons.
Now they do.
Oh, but back in the day, it was not so
well,
much.
Well, sure. I mean, we could
be like
yeah,
am I
we
remembering
only can get,
my childhood correctly?
We could be like, we only get milk in a bottle and it gets delivered to our door. And
right.
It's like, still, well, no, but
well,
you know,
no,
that
but
did happen.
Can
once.
You imagine those days of getting milk delivered? Doesn't that seem
my
wild?
My grandma got it. When I would go to England, she would still get milk and
yeah
there's a company that
juice?
Delivers fresh almond milk.
Oh, I would like that.
Okay, girl.
I'll have to get the deets.
And would they show up with like a little jug? And
that's correct.
Whoa.
In a plastic bag.
Yeah.
No.
That's
it's in a glass bottle,
because the freshly made stuff doesn't last as long, right? So you got to buy it more frequently.
Yeah, because there's not like
preservatives and all the chemicals and stuff. Yeah.
How are they making milk from nuts then?
They
squeeze them,
juice them nuts.
Okay,
juice them nuts.
Juice them nuts, mate. Don't know about juicing them nuts.
I know how to juice. I know how to juice nuts.
No, if anyone knows how to juice nuts,
if anyone on this podcast
knows how to juice nuts. Yeah.
I never known what to do with.
I've made
balls.
Cashew milk before, and it takes forever and a day.
Cashew milk.
It takes a long time.
Okay, you're talking about milking to make milk alternatives. May is talking about how they don't know what to do with testicles.
I did throw that in there, but
catch that jump.
Well, I know I was right here in the middle, and this ear was catching how to make a milk alternative, and this ear was like, I don't know what to do with testicles.
I didn't know that we had gone to testicles.
Well, we did.
What do you do with testicles?
What did you do to those testicles?
What seems weird to me is like, it seems to me like. Yeah. Every man has very different feelings about his testicles and what he wants done with. Some people like love it, and other people are like, don't go near them or touch them. So it's very like,
because they're sensitive, right?
Yes. Yeah, so
I haven't touched testicles.
Yeah. And are you asking for a friend?
Yeah. I'm doing some personal research for a friend.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, Jacqueline Novak in her special has a great bit about how when you're growing up, people tell you, and play with the balls. And she's like, play with the ball, like, what does that mean? It's such a broad thing. But yeah, no, I've never known.
Like,
I guess you gotta just communicate. You gotta, like, say, hey, do you want me to,
let's pretend these are the balls.
Yeah.
Okay.
And this is the wiener.
Fortune,
guys. So you're just like,
look at her playing.
She's like a little kitten.
What? I know. I would be like it would be like a cat toy, like me, me.
Wait, now, Fortune. I have a question.
And are you doing that?
Would you?
Yeah, my idea of playing with them is kind of knocking them. You know, like that game where you knock the ball and they hit each other.
Yeah.
That's what I think of. Back in the 90s, Pepsi and Coca-Cola were in a heated race to try and win loyal customers by any means necessary. But when Pepsi launched an ambitious promotion that encouraged people to buy Pepsi and redeem points for prizes, they overlooked their own fine print in a major way.
On each episode of Wondery's podcast, The Big Flop, comedians join host Misha Brown to chronicle one of the biggest pop culture fails of all time and try to answer the age-old question, who thought this was a good idea? Like, who at Pepsi thought it'd be a good idea to advertise that people could earn enough points to redeem a military jet as a prize? When they launched their Pepsi points system, they never imagined that somebody might try to snag it. But a 23-year-old did, and suddenly Pepsi owed him a jet.
Follow The Big Flop on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcast. You can listen to The Big Flop early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Fortune, would you be playing with the balls in that sweater? Lured the guy?
So for those of you not watching our YouTube channel right
how
now.
How dare you, first of all.
How dare you. I'm in a lovely puffy cardigan.
Playing?
A little masculine. Probably a man's not going to be asking me to play with his balls.
Okay, but not
his
only,
cardigan.
Not only do you have this cardigan on, but you also have little hanger.
Yeah, please tell me what I'm looking like.
Are you actually making fun of how Fortune
looks? I have little hanger bumps. I have hanger bumps.
And I'm picturing
on
you
my shoulders
playing with these testicles.
with these two pointy.
And this guy's going, how'd I get in this situation?
And I'm over here swatting at it like a cat toy.
No claws.
Yeah, I have not seen my way around a wiener.
Fortune.
Just You know, I'm just saying, I'm not
Fortune Marie.
That's not my middle name.
I don't care.
What is your middle name?
Fortune cares? Is my middle name.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Yeah. Your first name?
Emily.
Oh,
Emily
God.
Fortune.
I almost cried just then.
Really? Because I'm not really an Emily.
No, but there's a part of you that is an Emily.
The one that grew up in North Carolina.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Am.
Hey, girl. Nobody called me Emily, though, growing up. They always called me by my last name.
Oh, really? Feemster?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Feemy.
What's up, Feemster?
What's up, Feemster? What up, Feemy? Emily's the pretty little lady in me.
Yeah.
And also mm-hmm. one of the pretty little ladies that's asking a question today.
That's right. Yeah.
Oh, is that right?
That is right.
That's a little teaser.
Yeah, that is a teaser.
We're talking about the Indigo Girls, by the way.
I guess. I mean,
that's the quintessential group you think of when you think of lesbians, right?
Yeah, that's true. There used to be there still is sort of an annual gathering called Fake New Year's in Toronto with like the queer scene. It was at my friend's house, and it was usually a lot of sort of a slightly older generation than me, queer women, and always at midnight there would be a big Indigo Girls sing along and people hugging and crying, and I'd be like, it's sort of my crowd, and sort of I feel like,
oh, that's my crowd.
That's your crowd.
Yeah, yeah. Great, wonderful grandpa. Loves that crowd.
Yeah.
There's some songs that I know Emily wrote that I have often wondered, like, oh, I wonder if that was her figuring out her sexual. Well, of course, I'm sure.
Because I think Amy came out first.
When you she guys came have, out like, into the world.
I mean, yeah, when Amy came out of the womb.
Yeah.
But Emily, I think, came out later. But I could be wrong. I don't want
to.
I've
never known you to be wrong.
I don't want to rewrite the Indigo Girls history.
Herstory.
That you know all that, though. Are you friends with them?
Yeah, I know Emily a little bit, but Tig's friends with them.
I am friendly with them. I am a huge fan.
Yeah, same. Okay, I'm a big fan, too. Yeah. I have met Amy and chatted. They did my podcast, and they've. We're in your special.
Yeah. I'm on my podcast.
But Emily and I will text sometimes and just one of the nicest humans.
Yeah.
Just
one of those people. So nice to hear. I love when people are
she'll
nice.
She'll just write like, I'm so glad you're in the world. Oh. And you're like, you're the nicest freaking person. I was just like, guys. Like, I want to, she's like, I just want, like, she's not saying this, but she's like, I'm going to just say something meaningful to you.
I'm going to start doing that to both of you. And I want to say on the record, I'm really grateful you're both in the world.
Oh, yeah. See,
even made your great, wonderful grandma.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're so cool. I mean, they just were so like such pioneers, you know. Yeah.
I mean, but you know, people talk about taking drugs and going on a trip or journey and whatever.
Yeah.
That when they are on, that is my feeling. May.
Sorry, the couch farted,
that
not
was
May.
The couch, not me. That was
not very handsome.
The couch does sound like it's farting. What journey were you talking about?
No, I'm just saying, like, that's how I feel when I'm listening to their vocals and their lyrics. I'm like,
yeah,
I can't even, don't talk to me. Mm-hmm. Don't expect me to listen to your conversation. If their song comes on and we're in a social situation, I'm like, oh my God.
Really?
And then I'm like, I'm in it, you know? I'm such a fan.
Is it hard when you try and get your kids into music that you love and they're just like, yeah, cool.
I haven't experienced that, honestly.
Okay. Really?
Our kids, they love everything that we listen to.
That's cool.
They're so hilariously into like the
Indigo Girls.
And like Edie Raquel and Simon and Garfunkel.
Oh,
and
that's
like,
wicked.
And they know specifically, oh, Paul Simon.
Oh my God.
And Bob Dylan.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's an eclectic taste already.
The 5-year-old who I live with, who's the child of the woman I'm heavily involved with, I just introduced her to the Backstreet Boys. And it was
very similar
to
that level of artistic merit.
It's hard to talk to someone when that's on, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I just get so swept up.
All right.
But I was doing the dance moves and stuff. And then we were listening in the car to Shania Twain, Man, I Feel Like a Woman.
I do like Shania Twain too.
Yeah. And then so later on, so then I go to the
Let's
kids.
Let's go, girls.
Yes. Later on, I said that. I go, mm-hmm. Let's go, girls. And she goes, yeah, it sounds better in mommy's voice than, she goes, your voice is more Backstreet Boy. And I was like, okay, what if I say it like this? And then I said, close your eyes. And then I went, let's, I did my best. Let's go, girls. Pure yeah. Shania Twain.
Let's hear it.
Okay, everyone close your eyes.
Okay.
I'm going to close my eyebrows.
Okay. Dun, 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 dun. Let's go, girls.
That sold me.
Wait, close your eyes.
Yeah, okay. Let's hear your best one.
Let's go, girls.
Okay.
I feel like my mustache got in the way.
I wonder if Shania ever said that.
I guess I should go?
Yeah.
Let's go, girls, you dumb bitches.
Fortune.
I love Shania Twain. She got some bangers.
Yeah, she's got some good tunes.
Yeah,
real good tunes.
Man, I feel like a woman.
Man, I feel like a lesbian. That's not very catchy.
No, but it feels like when you first start doing comedy, I'm speaking for myself, and you start doing comedy songs, and you're like, I got gold here. I'm going to change the lyrics to Shania Twain.
Oh, my gosh. By the way, speaking of changing lyrics.
Yeah. Yes.
I have something to say that is going to be confusing and sound like a joke.
Okay.
It is true. I heard do you know the band Fall Boy? Fall Out Boy. Okay. Are you fan or familiar?
Is that the I'm going down and I'm very down,
so,
baby,
yeah.
We're going down, okay. Swinging.
Okay. So that was my wife's and maybe your time of, punk pop alt rock.
Sure.
And they were never on my radar.
Yeah.
I heard them on the radio yesterday. They redid Billy Joel's song We Didn't Start the Fire.
I've heard that.
I had never heard it. I was floored.
It's great, right?
It is incredible.
Yes.
And here's the twist. It made me tear up.
No way.
Yes.
Start the fire.
Yeah.
Really?
Do you know Billy Joel's song?
Well, yeah, of course.
Okay.
I know the Billy Joel version.
Okay, well, they redid it with more like modern. Uh-huh. They completely rewrote it.
Really?
And I was like, it wasn't like I was driving and sobbing, guys, relax. But it made me teary because it was just kind of this, you get so caught up in the world and the way things are, and you get like, oh, things are bad. And,
yeah.
And then it's just this reminder that, as the song says, we didn't start the fire.
Yeah.
It was always burning since the world's been turning.
So they've changed the actual lyrics of the stuff going on
of,
in the world.
Of all of the stuff that he rattles off.
Yeah.
And it was comforting in some weird way where I was like, oh, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's only life after all.
I love that.
That's a Indigo Girls reference.
Didn't get that. Yeah. I thought you were being really poetic.
No. Blame it on Emily. Anyway, I was just like, whoa, I can't believe this is affecting me like this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's obvious.
And it's Fall Out Boy.
We got to get a question from Fall Out Boy.
Oh, my God.
They took a break for a while, didn't they? Maybe they're back.
I was big into pop punk for a second for the band Good Charlotte. And there's a photo of me at a Good Charlotte concert with this guy I had a crush on called Brett Morris, if you're listening.
Hey, Brett.
Hey, Brett.
You really do love to say the first and last name.
I thought I'd say the last. Yeah, you're right. Full name Brett Morris. And he played young Magneto in the first X-Men movie.
Ooh.
And he was in my improv class. I was 13. And his dad dropped us off at the concert. And we go in. And then we waited after to meet Good Charlotte.
Did he have a crush on you?
For a second. He wrote in my scrapbook. I think he wrote you're a weird girl.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
He loved you. But no, that never happened.
He really had his eye on you.
Wait,
you're a weird girl?
Smell bad. I couldn't shake this guy off of me.
I didn't know you were being sarcastic until that, because I was like, yeah, no, obviously he's flirting. Because at the time I was like, oh boy, I'm in with a chance.
You're weird and you smell.
This photograph, the photograph is like the guys from Good Charlotte, Brett, and then I'm just like braces, long greasy hair, and weirdly, my boobs look like massive, like bigger than they ever were in my life. And I'm wearing like a pink t-shirt, and it's and my face is like kind of trying to be Jim Carrey or Chandler Bing. My face is like, anyway, and the and on the t-shirt it says, "It's always the quiet ones." I remember thinking it was so cool. I didn't. Even, I
was and like, that guy was just like hot.
He was probably like this freak. Get this kid away from me.
It's always the weird ones.
But I used to always make my friends watch the X-Men movie because I had a crush on him at sleepovers. I'd be like, "Yeah, you want to watch X-Men?" Because he had the scene in the beginning.
This guy used to have the hots for me.
Yeah, let's just say he thought I was pretty weird. Should we? Here, I'm excited to hear this.
I am very excited.
All right, let's hear it.
Okay. The Indigo Girls are a Grammy Award-winning duo with multiple platinum records. They have a new movie called Glitter and Doom that I am in. Whoa. That's a fantastical romance set to their hit songs. And let me just tell you, their songs are, as we've already discussed, I fully believe masterpieces.
Mm-hmm.
Masterpieces. This movie, Glitter and Doom, it has reimagined versions of already masterpieces.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe what they did with their songs.
Oh, that's cool.
If somebody would have told me beforehand, I would be like, eh.
Oh, because you wouldn't want to mess with the good thing.
Yeah, just be like, yeah, we're good. We're
good. Man, I'm excited.
And what they did, man, like unbelievable.
Is it the movie where at the end, there are people singing their songs or something? But no, like, is it, they asked me to do something where, I don't know if it was that, I don't know if it was that project or a different one, where people were, at the end, of like, in the credits, different people were singing their songs, but I was filming FUBAR and I couldn't do it.
Yeah, they possibly asked me too. So.
But the movie really stuck out to me because it's a gay guy couple, and they're the writer and director of this film.
Oh, cool.
And it's their love story. Oh. And they fell in love to the Indigo Girls music. And so when I heard that, obviously you would expect, oh, it's going to be a love story between two gay women.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that it's these two men
falling
in love to the Indigo Girls, I was like, yes, please.
Yeah.
Yes, please. And it's so great.
That's awesome.
Except for me.
Really? Wait, you think you're thinking of?
That was the movie that the thing that they asked me to do.
Oh, because they said Tig's terrible in it.
No.
They
said, not at all. They said you were doing something for it.
My role is very small, but I was supposed to have a French accent.
Oh my God!
Well, you know how good I am with accents.
Well, okay, but you weren't. Well, you were captured on film, but look, I did my best.
Oh my God.
And it is like, ew-ly. But the film is so great. And then you see me for a minute that's doing a terrible accent.
Well, at any point did you say, does this character need to be French?
Well, we're in France.
Oh, it is in France.
It takes place. takes place.
You're like, can there be one American friend?
Yeah. Can she be from Mississippi?
Can we hear your French accent real quick?
Oh, no.
They're like, could you say the words?
What do you want?
Oui, oui. Yes, no.
Did you do your shoulders like that?
But it's, you know, I identify as a stand-up comedian.
Right.
And, you know, my ongoing joke, which is true, whenever a director walks up to me, I always stop them and say, before you give me a note, just know I have no range. Now, what were you going to say? So,
you lay all your cards out there.
I do. I do my best. Let's hear what their question is.
Hey, y'all. It's Emily from Indigo Girls. If you could pick any artist or band and be at the recording sessions from start to finish for any one of their albums, which artist or band would you pick and which album? You just get to sit there in the control room or whatever, listen to it all go down from start to finish.
Okay.
Wow.
I have my answer.
Oh, wow. That was quick.
And it was, well, look, I already went on about how much I love the Indigo Girls.
Yeah.
Yep.
I would love to be in any of those
recording
sessions. That's a given.
So you can yell, closer I am to find.
And ruin like everything?
Like in the Barbie movie?
Yes. Oh my God, how great was it?
That was pretty cool that they got resurgence with that the Barbie great. Movie.
And there's a documentary about them out also. But anyway.
Crushing it.
And maybe look at my special called Happy to Be Here. But anyway, I would have to say, and I'm all over the board with the music that I enjoy, but, you know, I'm part metalhead.
Really?
What?
I would not have guessed
that. I was not expecting that. I mean, that doesn't shock me, but just, I can't wait to hear what album.
Well, and when I say metalhead, I'm not talking about like, you know,
White Zombie.
Yeah.
You're thinking like Black Sabbath type?
Well, yeah. Like I was more in that, like, you know, Van
Pearl
Halen.
Jam?
No. That's grunge.
I knew that.
Van Halen, Black Sabbath.
Yeah.
I would love to have been there for the first, I think it was in 1978, Van Halen's first album. I would love.
And what's on that? I don't know anything about the members of... Whoa, Eddie Van Halen. No, yeah, okay. Yeah.
Van Halen, incredible guitarist. Alex Van Halen, his brother, was a drummer.
Okay.
I mean, if I could truly, and I mean this, you could play a clip of Alex playing drums, and I would be able to point out that's Alex.
Really?
In the same way that you can, I mean, I can tell when it's Eddie Van Halen. I feel like I can tell when it's Emily playing guitar.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
People have such distinct styles. And I always call it a brain stamp.
Yeah. Oh, I like that.
Because it's like you hear, it's the same like when Willie Nelson plays his guitar and there's a brain stamp. Like whatever's going on, they can't not be that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And David Lee Roth, the lead singer, you're not familiar with him?
Yeah, I am, now that you say the name.
This is hilarious. Michael Anthony, the bassist.
Yeah.
Okay, I gotta listen to this album on the
and
way
And they
home.
Had really
they
great harmonies.
Could be. Yeah, that
well,
was
that's David Lee Roth solo. But you know, similarly to the Indigo Girls, but different. Tremendous harmonies.
Mm-hmm. And did they get along? Like, what would the atmosphere be like partying?
I think they were very, I know, they were very different. Famously partiers.
Okay.
All those guys were at that time.
But then I think sobered up.
Okay.
And then they broke up, right?
Yeah. And then sadly, Eddie died a few years ago.
Right. Yeah.
I was about to do a talk show and stuff, or my brother texted me, Eddie Van Halen died. And I was like, and I was like introduced on stage. I was devastated.
Like, I know you're not a massive partier, but if you're in that environment, you're somehow magically like in the studio with them, and you're like, are you doing what they're doing to be on the level, or you
no,
just want to sit back and
I
watch?
I just would want to watch.
Okay.
I would just want to watch.
Yeah, that's a cool answer.
Yeah.
It's true. God.
Fortune?
I guess I won't say Shania Twain.
Why?
Just kidding. Gosh, I don't know. I had never thought about this before because albums seem now like such a thing in the past. So I'm trying to think of like whose album I listened to a lot from start to finish. I did love
Judds.
I did love the Judds for sure. I knew a lot of Garth Brooks songs.
Love me some Garth.
So I knew a lot of that.
And to go back to Billy Joel, he wrote Shameless. You know that Garth Brooks song?
Oh,
Shameless?
Billy Joel wrote that.
That's a Billy Joel song.
I'm Shameless.
Yeah,
I did not know that. But like I feel like it's got to be somebody cool and interesting. You don't want to just like one, you know, guy playing the guitar and singing like, blame it all on my roots. Shut up and boots.
You don't want that?
Ruin your black tie fair.
Like you want the atmosphere.
Why?
Yeah, you need the vibe around.
Well, that's a real dig against Garth.
Love Garth, but I'm saying it would be more of a just like, hey man, good job. That song's gonna crush. If you want like the mystique, the vibe, like this is a once in a lifetime opportunity to watch this go down, probably be like Prince's Purple Rain.
Oh, yes.
Whoa,
yeah.
That album. Because you know he got weird, I'm sure.
I mean,
it was a weird vibe.
Gotta go to Minneapolis.
When was he not getting weird?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
gotta go to Minneapolis, you know, make that trek out there, even in the winter.
That's a real curveball for me that he's from Minneapolis.
Yeah,
he is?
Loved it. That's where his. What's the name of it? Why can't I think of it? Something Park.
Yeah, Paisley Park. But,
yeah, I was like, that's where he lived.
Oh, no way.
And and he had the place downtown on, what was that called? One? One. First Avenue. Also, technically a one.
Would you be able to stop yourself from singing along and ruining takes?
I wouldn't want him to be mad at me.
Yeah. Like, you don't
what
want...
are you over there? What are you doing?
Yeah.
I would be like, I'm sorry, Prince.
You're not going to be known for your Prince impression.
No, definitely not. But I just think, and he was known for being so musical.
Yeah.
And he wrote a lot of songs.
Yeah.
And I just would love to have just seen him create.
Yeah.
And also, some crazy shit was going down.
That's
some
what
fun
I want.
Stuff. I'm people like were the... probably coming through there, famous people.
Do you think he would have turned around and been like,
yeah,
what are you doing here?
And I was like, hey, Prince.
Would you have taught him the Joe the Button song?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He'd be like, I know that song. I love it. I would tower over him.
Oh, he's tiny. He's
a tiny guy.
That's a good answer.
Yeah.
What was your favorite song on Purple Rain?
Purple Rain.
I know someone that doesn't like that song.
Oh, that's crazy.
That makes that I don't.
That's crazy. And they're not just being contrary. They genuinely are like, I don't like it.
Yeah.
And there's some good covers of that song too.
It's Stephanie. Yeah.
It's Stephanie. Yes. Deal breaker.
It is the weird. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
You don't like Purple Rain.
And then you go, Purple Rain, Purple Rain.
That reminds me of, I know I've talked about John Doerr on here before, yeah, but his joke about when when somebody says they like a song or whatever, and then somebody else is like, yeah, I don't like it. He's like, you don't like it? And then they like sing it and read it. And he's like, yeah. you're not making me like the song. I just destroyed his bit, but
yeah.
No matter how many times you sing it or repeat it, I've heard it. Yeah. Not a fan. But yeah, I don't, that's the one thing about Stephanie I don't understand.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah. It's perfection.
It really is. Yeah. And the way it's produced and everything. Ugh.
Even has a movie.
It even has, and all the best songs have a movie.
I was watching that movie like 2 days before he died.
Oh, fuck.
We just randomly watched it. And I just was watching it going, man, I got it. Because he was starting to do a bunch of shows again. And he was doing like 4-hour concerts. He had just done one in LA and I missed it. And I remember being like, I got to see him live. And
yeah.
And like 2 days later, he died.
I was at the Sydney Comedy Festival in Australia when Bowie died. And then spontaneously, hundreds of people went to the park and then they were blasting his music and people were just weeping. And like, that was pretty awesome. Okay, I picked my albums.
Yeah.
But there's the answer I would say, like, to be cool. And I think it would be super interesting.
Wait, albums? You're picking several?
Just two.
You can only do one.
Okay, I know my one answer, but I'll say also the one that I almost...
Yeah, Professor Tig over here is a real stickler.
My runner-up is Johnny Cash in Folsom Prison.
Okay.
Like, just the raw
energy. Oh, drunk as shit.
He'd be wasted, but the energy in there, like, that is a moment in history, I think, and that would be really cool.
Did you need me to sing that song?
Yeah, would you mind?
I hear a train coming, rolling down the bend. I ain't seen the sunshine. I don't know where.
Yeah.
Huh? Pretty good.
That was great. Shout man.
Just to watch him die.
But it's a boring answer, I think, but it's Sergeant Pepper,
no.
I think.
Oh, I mean, yeah, that tracks.
Somebody had to say it.
Somebody had to. Yeah.
And I think of all the Beatles albums, it's like they were the most in sync with each other and they were the most inspired, maybe. I don't know. It feels like the most whimsical, and like you got George Martin producing and they're bringing in these big orchestras and like to be there when they did Day in the Life with a big orchestra and fuck.
Day in the Life used to scare me when
it
I was
is
a
scary.
Kid.
It's because it gets all dissonant.
Like when it, that builds, yeah. I used to get, I was such a Beatles fan as a small child. Loved him, loved the song, but it was like watching a scary movie. I couldn't deal with it.
But then the relief when that breaks.
Yes. Oh man.
Oh man, yeah.
Two against one.
I would do
what?
You don't like,
I don't really like all the Beatles.
You don't like the Beatles?
Oh, Fortune.
Get out.
Oh my!
What do you, what mean? Do you not like about what the Beatles?
Guys, don't be mad at me.
Of course we are.
This is a safe space. I don't
this
know.
Not a safe space.
I recognize ever... that they're like one of the best bands ever that's ever lived.
Yes.
And that they're adored internationally forever and always. It doesn't do a lot for me.
Have you ever like got
play the songs for me? Maybe I'll change my mind.
Okay. Wait, hey, is there one song that you are like, okay, I'll give them that?
Twist and Shout? I mean, no, that's always a classic.
I'm like, that's a palatable if you don't like their general vibe.
Oh, I almost sang a Beach Boys song. What is? Give me one.
Fortune.
Give me a Beatles.
I can't when think I find of one.
Myself in times of trouble. That was not bad.
Hey,
dude. Calls to me.
Okay, did you like John or Paul or Ringo or George solo?
Okay. Not Wings. Not really. Didn't really do much.
That's Band on the Run.
That's Man another one.
On the Run.
I would like to be in.
Oh, I'm not saying I hate them. Let's get
think
this clear.
You pretty much
well, you made like your feelings them clear.
I don't love them.
You're a regular old everyday Stephanie Allen, yeah, not like in Purple Rain.
Exactly. So, but I understand that people are obsessed. So I can see why you would say Sgt. Pepper's. That's their most famous album, right?
Yeah. The White Album. There's a lot of famous Beatles albums.
I get it. They're famous.
But I would say like Sgt. Pepper like changed music. Like
I know that they influenced music heavily too. I get that. So I appreciate all that they've done.
For sure.
But like people geek out, you know, about meeting Paul McCartney and stuff now.
Yeah.
I was like, what's up, bud?
Yeah.
Wow.
Buns?
What's up, buns? There's like a solo John Lennon album, Rock and Roll, that's all covers, and it was Phil Spector produced it, and it just seems like chaos. Like Phil Spector was so out of his mind. He was firing off a gun in the studio, and that would be interesting to be
I wouldn't
around.
Have want
to
been there.
No, oh, you're that, right. As I'm
yeah,
saying, I'm
I don't like being
keep,
in the chaos.
Get me out of there.
Yeah.
I was in high school and George Harrison died that day. And then my English teacher just was like, I don't like the Beatles. And me and my friend were like stoners deeply, like, we thought we'd discovered the Beatles basically, and we were the only ones that like got them. And then he was like, yeah, George Harrison was an asshole, and we were like, just can you not like on the day that he died? And he kept digging and
that's weird
in front of the whole class. And then I like stood up like as if I was gonna go shut up, but I didn't say anything. I just was like and then I went
back down.
I went to the bathroom.
I need to go to the water closet.
I did. I went to the water closet. What's the water closet?
Oh wait, that's bathroom. I thought that's what they call it. Oh, you were in Canada. I was thinking of England.
No, I don't think they say it in England.
No,
a water closet.
Don't they?
Not water closet. I've never heard.
Why have we heard?
Why
of water
I don't
closet?
Know.
Because we don't use it in America.
No, we only use it in England.
We use it in England.
Why are we saying water closet in England?
It has WC written on the door.
Yeah, you've never heard of water closet?
What do you
closet?
Mean?
Is
you
wash
live in
chamber.
London and you're literally English.
Wash chamber?
Wash chamber, isn't it?
I thought
I've
it was
never
water
heard
closet.
I've only heard water closet.
I have never heard water closet.
Oh my God.
This is
am
insane.
I crazy?
Yes.
Can you Google what does...
Thomas is Googling.
What does WC stand for?
It stands for water closet.
What?
And you thought it was a
wash chamber?
Chamber?
How come now that
will you Google
insane?
Wash chamber?
Look, it says the phrase water closet arose in England in the 1870s.
Yes, that's where we use it.
Over time, it has simply become WC.
I've never heard
I love that the two people who've never lived in England.
And the people that have.
A British man here.
There is a British man in the room saying, nope, never heard of it.
You're like, what is a water closet?
That's how in crazy. The hell have the two Southern gals.
I think because it was so weird. Like, we're like, water closet? Why do they call it that?
Yeah, but
I don't
how
understand.
Are we seeing it and they're not?
I don't know.
I am so mystery. Sick of this.
See, the Beatles are tearing us apart.
Oh my gosh.
I would have been in that album recording and be like, oh, like kind of bopping my head. Like, this is cool.
In Sgt. Pepper?
Yeah.
This isn't going to sell.
And then I would be like,
I'm gonna do a coffee run. Can I get you something?
I would have done acid with them. I think. And then what do you think?
Of course you would have.
I sound like such
the Beatles are sitting around like, hey, you want a trip with us? No, let me think about it.
I sound like such a lame stoner though. Yeah, I would have done acid with the Beatles, man. But the story that Paul McCartney tells about, and if you're like listening at home, you should put this song on and just listen to the
Paul, if you're listening.
He tells a story about being at home, and then Brian Wilson from the Beach Boys came over, and Paul was like, oh, what were you up to today? And he's like, oh, I just recorded this song. You want to hear it? And puts on Good Vibrations. Uh-huh. And if you're, and Paul was like, just being the first person to hear that song and being like, oh, that's insane. Yeah. I sound like I'm going to cry. But if you're listening at home, just listen
Are you about to cry?
I'm on the edge. Like, yeah. Listen to the beginning of Good Vibrations. You know, it's like, oh, I love the color fashion. Yeah. Oh, come on.
I mean, now you understand how I felt with Fall Out Boy. I mean,
Same vibes. Very similar.
Yeah. I think similarly to mention the Indigo Girls or the Beatles, but I was like, well, that's obvious.
Yeah.
No, right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, would it be Willie Nelson, Ray Charles? I mean, Gladys Knight. Are you a Gladys Knight fan?
Yeah, love
her. I mean,
I don't know her too much for the band.
Okay.
He couldn't make it,
so he's living the life he's come to know. He said he's going back to fight. Come on, y'all.
I used to leaving
on a midnight train to Georgia.
Leaving on a midnight train to
said he's going back.
Going back to fire.
It's in a life. It's half to know. I don't know this one. I got to be there. I know you will.
And what's
the
perfect.
The pimps are amazing in this song.
What's perfect is Midnight Train to Georgia.
Yeah.
Indigo Girls are from Georgia.
From Georgia. What a time.
What a podcast.
What about Alanis Morissette, Jagged Little Pill? That would be cool.
That would be
just
cool.
Just seeing her belt it out.
And Taylor Hawkins was her drummer.
Oh, shit. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Should we hear what... I'm always interested what musicians say. Like, yeah.
Okay. This first answer is going to be from Emily Saliers.
I would pick Songs in the Key of Life by Stevie Wonder.
Interesting.
Wow. Okay.
Got right to the point.
Yeah, no explanation needed.
I think that the second one is from Amy.
Amy Ray? What are you, crunching numbers over there again?
Yeah.
Let me guess. I was going to guess that Amy would say Big Star or the Pixies or Pretenders.
Okay.
Hi, my name's Amy Ray. I'm part of Indigo Girls. And, well, first of all, hi. Hi, Tig. Hi. Hi, Fortune. Hi, May. I have been listening to the Handsome podcast on my road trip across the United States for a solo tour.
Nice.
And it's been super entertaining and fun. So thank you for that.
Oh, my gosh.
I see that Emily asked the question about what artists would we want to be hanging out in the studio with while they're recording an album. You know, I have to riff on that a bit because I'm obsessed right now with like live records recorded in the 60s, especially. And one of my very favorite artists is Nina Simone of all time. Mm-hmm. And I spend probably as much time listening to her live records as I do to her studio albums. And there's a live record from Carnegie Hall with the song Mississippi Goddamn on it.
Yes.
That's such an important song. And I would give anything to be able to go back in time and sit there and listen and watch and then figure out what the recording equipment is and what the microphone is she's using and everything. And just be in the presence of the very amazing, compelling, profound recording of that song that was done at Carnegie Hall. Because I think that the art of recording live music was really at its peak in the 60s and early 70s. So that's what I would say. I hope that's okay that it's not a studio album. But then I get the double pleasure of being at a Nina Simone concert, which I never got to do, and also studying how a record is made. All right. Hope you guys have a good day. Keep it up. Love it. Bye.
Oh, amazing. That's so cool. Yes. She said my name.
Yeah, she said all of her names.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Yes,
yeah. Amy's voice is like that kind of is so distinct. Oh, yeah. You hear it when she talks and then when she sings. They're so synonymous.
Yeah. Those I was really off when I guessed.
You guessed the Pixies.
Because I'm very aware of, like, you know, she was very into the whole punk scene.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I was really hoping I was going to score there and, like, blow everyone's mind. Like,
that would have been amazing. Yeah. Jake, you know the Indigo Girls so well.
That was they were great answers.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And great people.
Yeah.
Thank you.
1,000%.
Love them so much.
They're coming to LA in like the fall, like September or something.
Joni Mitchell's playing in the fall. Did you see that?
I know. The Hollywood Bowl really sold out. They added a second show. I met Joni Mitchell. That was a freaking dream. I said, I hate to be this person, but I will kick myself forever if I don't ask you for a picture. And we got a picture together. She was so cool. Her friend was like, here, give me your camera. I'll take it.
I want to see the picture.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah.
She was rad. I was like sitting across from her for like 2 hours.
And chatting?
Can you leave?
Yeah.
No, I was across from the room.
Oh,
I chatted with her for a second, but she was sitting with Goldie Hawn.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, I
think you told me this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't say, but then I waited till the end when she was leaving, and I didn't want to bug her, but she was so cool about it.
Yeah,
because she, you know, Brandi Carlile's had a lot to do with bringing her back to singing again and being on stage. Yeah. So I would think Brandi would be part of that concert. I'm not sure,
and I would think Brandi would need to do a question for us.
Brandi should definitely do a question. Yeah, we should reach out to her.
Yeah. Well, that was fun.
Joni Mitchell should do a question.
Yeah.
That was super fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fortune text Joni.
I don't have Joni's phone number.
That would be awesome if you were just texting with Joni.
What's up, Joni?
That's your web series, Texting with Joni.
Texting with Joni.
Yeah.
I just read our texts from each other.
Well, thank you to the Indigo Girls for submitting that question.
Thank you, Tig, for having us here in your beautiful office.
Yeah,
did you guys like being with each other?
Sorry?
Together in the room?
What do you
all
mean?
Of us.
Sorry, what do you
how
mean
did
by
you
that?
Feel? Yeah. How did you guys feel having all of us together?
I thought you meant, like, did we enjoy being on the sofa? I thought you were feeling alienated.
Well, I imagine the sofa was pretty cool.
I've loved being on the sofa with you.
I love it. It reminds me of when I was in the movie Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, and
when you Grandpa played the
Joe.
Grandpa,
Grandpa Joe, who worked at the Button Factory.
For our audio listeners, you did not know this, but Tig,
you'll have to look at YouTube.
Yeah, I'm not going to tell you what's on Tig's face.
Yeah. And that's been, and it's so weird how quickly it became normalized, and you're just talking, and
there's a little.
There is something that you'll have to see on YouTube. Subscribe to our YouTube channel.
Yeah. At Handsome Pod, right?
Yeah. We got incredible merchandise out there that we listened to you. You told us what you wanted,
and we had it made.
Delivered.
Yeah.
And you guys are buying it up.
I'm wearing my little cowboy hat a
lot. Oh my God. Looks good.
I gotta get my Pretty Little Lady sweatshirt. I wanna be rocking that.
You have to.
I gotta get one too.
Someone said we should get a Pretty Little Lady.
Oh, they.
That's
cool.
Yeah.
Pretty Little Lady.
Yeah, I like that.
That's really good.
And yeah, follow us on Instagram and we read all the comments. They crack me up. It's hilarious.
I know. It is pretty cool how interactive it is.
Yeah.
On the
people
socials.
Really, really get in there and chat and
debate stuff.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's
say
really
funny stuff. And,
yeah.
But definitely subscribe to the podcast and YouTube. And yeah.
I'm at Largo later in the month. With special guests, so come check that out. And I just post all my shows on Instagram and doing improv and things like that. But I don't know the dates at the moment. It happens very last minute. I'm kind of a rebel.
You really are. Yeah. I, on the other hand, am not a rebel. I have booked shows ahead of time. And March 8th, I will be in Peekskill, New York. March 10th, Waterville, Maine. And then March 18th, I'll be at Largo. Go to tignotaro.com for all ticket and show information. I'm doing a bunch of shows at Largo and Dynasty Typewriter around LA, trying to work out some new material. You know, sometimes it goes well and sometimes it doesn't. Fortune, what's going on with you?
I'm on the last leg of my tour. Coming up, I have Durham and Wilmington, North Carolina. I've got Los Angeles and New York City. I have Toronto. I have Palm Springs, Seattle, and then new shows, Albany, New York, Hartford, Connecticut, San Luis Obispo, and Bakersfield, California.
Nice.
FortuneFeemster.com for tickets, baby. Come on out. We're having a good time. And then I'm going to film my special in Seattle.
Awesome.
That's so exciting.
I mean, I'll be very ready.
Yeah.
It's been a good tour, but it's been a long tour.
Oh, I forgot to also mention that my special comes out on Amazon March 26th.
Oh,
Hello
my God.
Again.
Nice.
Hello yes. Again. Hello Again is coming out March 26th. So check it out. And yes, until then,
keep it handsome.
Handsome is hosted by me, Mae Martin, Tig Notaro, and Fortune Feemster. The show is produced, recorded, and edited by Thomas Ouellette. Email us at handsomepod@gmail.com. And please follow us on social media at handsomepod.
What a podcast.
Hey, handsomes, are you still listening? Well, guess what? The Indigo Girls have a new song coming out that they wrote just for their new movie. The single is called What We Wanna Be, and here is a little sneak preview.